fathers and their influence today. And we're going to look at several passages of Scripture to look at godly mothers in the Scripture and the Bible that's had an influence upon our life and upon children's lives and things of that nature. So mothers and their influence. And we're going to start with 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll start there, mothers with an influence, mothers and their influence that they've had on us. And we'll start in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll take a look at Hannah this morning is where we'll be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We thank you that we can have a good time in your house, the Lord, serving you. Thank you that we can honor our moms, the Lord, and Father, every one of them that is here, Father, is going to get something at the end of the service. And Lord, we just appreciate every one of them and honoring them and honoring motherhood. Lord, again, we thank you for them. Father God, if our moms are still living, Lord, we need to take time to let them know today how much we love them and appreciate them. And so many of us have, our mothers have gone on, the Lord, or Father, maybe even a terminal right now. We do think of Cassandra, the Lord, and Miss Mary Ann McKinnon, as time is short for her today, the Lord, and we uplift them. And Father, my mom-in-law, and just so many others, the Lord. And Father, I just thank you for them. Those mothers that's had an impact on our lives, Father, that has gone on before us, Lord, whether they be our natural moms or adoptive moms or just friends of a family that have been so much to us, Lord. We thank you for those ladies you brought in our lives. And Father, I pray that through your word today that we can honor our moms in a way that deserve to be honored. And we can all take something from the Scripture that we can learn and apply to our life, the Lord, and let others know about Jesus. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. As we open it up, may it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. May you defeat the devil, bind him up, and keep him at bay and away from here. And just let the sweet Spirit and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives. We're going to thank you for your reading of your word. May you bless it today. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I want us to look at a mother's influence in prayer like Hannah. I want us to look at that in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want us to look at verses 4 and 6, and then we'll skip over. It said, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters a portion. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, meaning a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And I thought about Hannah, and I thought about Hannah. Hannah was childless here. But Hannah had one thing that Hannah did, which we're going to get into, is Hannah was a lady of prayer. Hannah was a woman that trusted in God, which so many women do throughout the Bible and throughout the folks that we know. But Hannah was childless. And then we see that Hannah prayed for a child in verses 9 through 13. Look at that. So Hannah rose up after that had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, and therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. Here was Hannah. Hannah was a woman that believed in prayer. I'm so thankful for mamas and grandmas and things to this day that believe in prayer. I'm so thankful for a praying mama. I'm so thankful to have a mama that taught my brother and I how to pray and over our food and at night and things of that nature. Our dad worked around the shift and did a lot of shift work and wasn't home a lot. But thank the Lord for a mama that would get up on Sunday mornings when daddy was working and take us to church and make sure that we were in church and under the word and learning how to pray. And it's those prayers that I'm sure that has kept us out of a lot of trouble. I can say my brother was a pretty good kid, but me, I had some issues. So, and he'll tell you that. But thank the Lord, it's those prayers that kept me out of jail, really, when I should have went. It was those prayers that kept me out of a whole lot of worse trouble that I could have got into. But thank the Lord for prayers. Thank the Lord for a praying mama that prays for her children. A mama that believes in God. One that prays and spends time upon her knees. It doesn't get any better than that. Knowing that you have a mom that is praying for you. Knowing that here was Hannah demonstrating that prayer and faith in the Lord. Hannah was a mom that demonstrated that in the scripture. She was childless, but she had faith to believe that God could perform a miracle. She had faith to believe in prayer that God can give her a child. And so we see Hannah was one that believed in prayers. Not only that, but because of the faith that Hannah had, Hannah's prayers were answered. Look at verse 17 through 20. It said, "Then Eli, the priest, answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, and that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I asked him of the Lord." And I remember so many times moms, you know, dedicating their babies. We've done a lot of baby dedications here where the family comes up and the moms come up and dedicate their children and give their children back to the Lord. And that's the example that Hannah set for us, that she dedicated her child back to the Lord. She gave her child to the Lord. She asked the Lord for her to have a child. God heard and answered her prayers, and Hannah devoted and gave that child back to the Lord, just as so many of our mamas do today. So many of us have praying mamas, and it's thankful to know that you have a praying mama, a praying grandma, a praying aunt or sister or whatever. It's good to know that there are those that's on your side, those that's praying for you. And maybe when nobody else is, you can count on mama. Maybe when nobody else is, you can count on grandma or aunt or some lady that's of importance and significance in your life. Thank the Lord for them in your life, that God has brought them to you and through you. Thank the Lord that you have praying mamas. Thank the Lord for mamas that have a prayer that influence us like Hannah. Not only that, but I think of a mother's influence, number two, with a devotion like Ruth. I think of a mother's influence with a devotion like Ruth. When we look in Ruth chapter 1, Ruth wasn't devoted to Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 15 through 18, it says, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back, Naomi, to her people, and unto her gods return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, in verse 16, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whether thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Though the Lord do so to me, and more also it art be, but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Here was Ruth. Ruth was devoted to Naomi. And I think so many times I thank the Lord for devoted moms, devoted women that God has brought across your path or my path. The devotion of mamas that, you know, we can go out and we can get in that trouble. We can get in that mischief and whatever. But thank the Lord we got a mama we know that is forgiven. A mama that might whoop you a little bit and spank you. I always love switches from an azalea bush. My brother and I didn't have to worry about, and we had a block. Our house, when we were growing up, took up a full city block. And so our dad planted azalea bushes around the whole entire property. And we didn't need no landscaper. Mama was raising Randy. And so he had to have lots of azalea bushes. And wore out on him. He'd have to go pick them out. And really, it was a whole lot of me and a little less of him. But she would wear us out with them azalea bushes and then stick them up and torture us on top of a china cabinet. So we had to look at the end of them, didn't we, brother? Had to look. And he was taller than me, so he'd climb on the rocking chair and get them and break them. So when she went to use them the next time, they would break with the first hit. So we got raised real good. So don't listen to your brother, Adam. Listen to Uncle Timmy. I'm the one preaching. Don't pay him no attention. But so, so they used them azalea bushes, but mama was raising children. Like I said, she was raising my brother. And so there was a lot of them getting used around there and being spanked, but she loved us. And she was devoted to us. She was devoted into making us do the right thing. She was devoted to us to teach us right from wrong. She was devoted to us that when we did something wrong, she would sit us down and tell us what we were going to get a spanking for and why we was getting a spanking and why we deserved it and things of that nature. But we know that mom would always be there. Mom was devoted to that. And thank the Lord for devotion like this. Thank the Lord for devotion like Ruth was to Naomi, that said, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou die, I will die." And so thank the Lord that you have a relationship like that, a devotion like Ruth was to Naomi. Not only that, but we see because of that devotion that Ruth and Naomi had between them, Ruth was able to glean in Boaz's field. In chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, it said, "And Naomi, because of Ruth's devotion to Naomi, it said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn and after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her harp, her portion, was alight on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was in the kindred of Elimelech. Because Ruth was devoted to Naomi and followed Naomi and come back to her, Ruth reaped what Naomi had to offer. Because she was devoted to follow Naomi, she was able to glean in Boaz's field, which was a kin person to Naomi. And because of her devotion to that, God blessed her. He blessed her to be able to reap the corn that was in that field, blessed her to be able to sustain life for her and Naomi. And it's because of that devotion that Ruth had for Naomi and Naomi's love for Ruth. Not only that, but Ruth was rewarded for her devotion. In the end of the chapter 4 and verse 13 and following, we see that Ruth was rewarded for her devotion with the marriage of Boaz. Look at verse 13 and following. It says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took that child and laid it on her bosom and became nurse unto it. And a woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born unto Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We see that Ruth was rewarded for her devotion to Naomi because she was devoted to her daughter-in-law. Even after her sons have been killed in these chapters, Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law, Naomi, even after that. And because of that, because of Ruth's devotion to Naomi, then it led to her kinsperson, Boaz. They led to a field that they gleaned in. Boaz was a man that could sustain life and financially support Naomi and Ruth. As a result of that, Ruth was blessed with a child, and Naomi became the nurse to it. And we see because of that devotion in life, how God blessed. And it's the same thing with moms today and grandmas today. You see several generations right here, which is a blessing to see in church. We got the Wises and all their families' blessings with three generations, right? Three generations of y'all. We got Miss Catherine over here with four generations. And it's because there was a mama that stand firm on the word of God, that taught it to their children, that passed it down from one generation to another generation. Well, we have three and four generations of family in here today. Thank the Lord for devotion of moms that take the time to make sure their families are in church. Thank the Lord for those devotions like Ruth, that the moms that generations down had an impact on their life to make sure that they had an impact on others' life to get them a part of what God is doing in the church. Amazing. So we see we have mothers that are influenced and devoted like Ruth. Thank the Lord for our mothers. Number three, mothers influenced by showing their interest in the Word of God like Mary. Mothers influence us by showing their interest in the Word of God like Mary did. And we find out in Luke chapter 10 in verse 38 and following, it says Mary heard the word at Jesus' feet. It said in verse 38 and following in Luke 10, it said, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and did what? Heard the word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and it came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Did her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We have Mary here that is found at the feet of Jesus. She heard the word of God at Jesus' feet. Mary chose, as it said in verse 42, a good part in loving the word. Mary chose to love the word. Thank the Lord for moms in generations that's gone by that has taught us children about the word of God. That has took time to take us to church. Took time to get us to Sunday school. Took time to get us to children's church. Moms that were devoted to putting Christ first in their life and making sure that the family had their lives right with the Lord, making sure that we were in children's church and Sunday school, making sure that we heard the word of God, we understood the word. Thank the Lord for moms that did that for us and passed that legacy on, that they loved the word so much that they wanted us to be devoted in hearing God's word, just as Mary was devoted to sit at the feet of Jesus, it said in verse 39, and she was called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and did what? Heard the word. Thank the Lord for moms that do that. Thank the Lord for the devotion of them that want us to be a part of hearing the word of God. Not only that, but Mary was the word in action. Mary was the word in action. When I think about that, I think of John chapter 11 that talks about Mary over here, Mary being her words being in action. In John 11 in verse 32 through 35, it says, then when what? Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Talking about Lazarus. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And it said, Jesus wept. And so we see the compassion that he had. We see Mary was a word in action. We see in verse 40 and following, 40 through 45, it said, Jesus said unto her, said, I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many other Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Mary was a lady of action. Mary was a lady that loved the word. Mary was a lady that sat at Jesus' feet. She chose the good part in loving the word. Mary chose to live out that word in action. And many Jews, because of Mary, many Jews became to believe. My friends, it's about the Word of Lord. It's about the Word of God. Thank God for godly mothers and grandmothers and so forth and so on in generations that have loved the Word of God, that they took the time to pass it on to you and me. They took the time to pass it on to us, the love for the Word of God, and my friends, and how it's had an impact on them. And I can tell you, so many moms and grandmas are the reasons that families and generations of families get saved. Are the reason that families are in part of the church. That the reason that they're there is because of the love of our moms to be able to have that impact on our life. Not only that, but number four, mothers influenced by decisions like Rebecca. I thank the Lord for mothers' decisions like we see in Rebecca. And then that's in Genesis 24. Rebecca's decision was a right decision. Look at Genesis 24 in verse 57 through 59. It said, and they said, will we call thou damsel and inquire at her mouth? And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? I'm going to read it all the way down to 67. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Rebekah made a choice. Rebekah went. Rebekah said, I will go. In verse 59, following, said, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his man. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of a thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels, and they followed the men. And the servants took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Luar, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lightened off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We see, as I talk about Rebekah, Rebekah's influence. Rebekah's decision was a right decision. We see that in verses 57 through 59, where she took the damsel and she said, I will go. And she became Rebekah, their sister, and their nurse, and Abraham's servant with all his men. We see that Rebekah's decision proved to be a blessing when you look at verses 60 through 67, because she went and because she did what they were asked to do of her, and she came into the field of Isaac and where Isaac was, and then Isaac took her into Sarah's tent, his mom, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And we see that Rebekah's decision was for life. When you look over in Genesis 49, when you look over in there, in verse 31, you see that Rebekah's decision with Isaac was a decision for life. In verse 31, it says, There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, and there they buried Isaac and who? Rebekah, his wife, and they buried Leah. Rebekah's decision was a right decision. Rebekah's decision proved to be a blessing. Rebekah's decision was for life. Thank the Lord that we have godly moms and godly women that's come across our paths that have made decisions that they were going to pray for us, that have made the decisions that they were going to teach us the Word of God, that made the decisions that they were going to be devoted to our life, that made those decisions, my friends, which will have an impact if we have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior for all eternity. For all eternity. Thank the Lord for those moms that have crossed our path with the decisions like Rebekah has made in our lives. Not only that, but mother's influence, number five. Mother's influence by faith like Queen of Sheba. And that's found in 1 Kings 10. And I could have went on and on, folks. I could have spent all day in this scripture and in this word showing you mothers after mothers in the scripture and how an impact that they have had on our lives. And so I want to look at 1 Kings chapter 10, and I want to talk about a mother's influence by the faith like Queen of Sheba. And you look at 1 Kings chapter 10, and I read it all the way down to 13, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. It said, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a great train of camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she commanded with him all that was in her heart." Skip down to verse 6. It said, "And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I have heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, a half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee in thy throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and spices very great store, and precious stone. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, but brought it in Ophir, whatever that is, Ophir, great Oprah, great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the kings made of the almug trees pillars of houses of the Lord, and for the king's house harps also, psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And the king Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. She turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. When I thought about the mother's influence like Queen Sheba, I thought about faith that she had, faith that she heard. She heard all that King Solomon was about. She came to see that. She came through faith to see what King Solomon had. She said that she had not witnessed. She said words. She said, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it, and behold, a half was not told to me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I've heard." I've heard about what you're doing. I came to see that. She said words didn't even explain all that was going on with the fame and everything he had. Through faith she witnessed and received. In verses 6 and following, we see that her faith, through her faith she witnessed what God was doing with Solomon. She witnessed and she gave a part of the stones and the precious spices and things to him. In return she received. And verse 13 said, "And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave of his royal bounty." And then she turned and went her way in her country with her servants. So we see here, Queen of Sheba had faith. Faith enough to come. Faith enough to step out and travel to see what she had heard. And she experienced it herself. Thank the Lord for faith of moms. Moms that step out. Moms that grab your hand and say, "You can do this. You can do this. What do you want to achieve in life? You want to be a doctor? You can do it. I'll be in your corner. I'll be one that's cheering you on. What do you want to do? You want to play ball? You want to play football? Whatever it is. You want to go to school to become a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, whatever it is. I'm going to have faith believing in you. I'm going to help you achieve that. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to step out on faith and see that you can get there." And it's mom's devotions like Queen of Sheba that we see that step out on faith, that believe, like so many more in the scripture, like Lois and Eunice and things like that, that passed on what they did to Timothy in the scripture. Thank God for godly mothers that pass on that legacy to you and me that have got us here today. The last thing I thank moms for, and godly influence, is mom's influence by having an open heart like Lydia. Open heart like Lydia. I think of Acts chapter 16, and I think of mom's influences of an open heart like Lydia. And Lydia's heart was open to a prayer service of Paul. In Acts 16 and verses 9 and following, it says this. It said, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately were endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, came to the straight course of Samoth race, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which the chief of the city that are part of Macedonia, and a colony of where in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, was worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I thought about a mother's influence, having an open heart like Lydia. Lydia's heart was open to the prayer service by Paul, as we just read. It said in verse 14, and that certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I thank the Lord for mamas that have an open heart. An open heart that has invited Jesus to be their Lord in life. Because of Lydia's open heart, it resulted in a household of people being saved and baptized. Look at verse 15. It said, when she was baptized, and her what? Household. She besought. What? Amen. I'm sitting here talking to y'all, and y'all looking at me like I'm some, what's he talking about? Praise the Lord. Are y'all with me now? Amen. Let's go back and do that again in verse 14. It said, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Whose what? Whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken to Paul. It said, and when she was what? Baptized in what? Her household. She besought us, saying, if thou have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I thank the Lord for mothers who have opened their heart. Opened their heart. And I honestly feel in my heart that because of a lot of mothers that have got saved and gave their heart and life to the Lord, their whole household has become saved. When she was baptized in her house, she besought us. Her whole house became saved. You got quick fingers back there. And her whole house became saved. So I thank the Lord. You know, I honestly feel in my heart, because of a lot of moms, and a lot of moms giving their heart and life to the Lord and living out those examples as we talked about today. Being an influence like Hannah, a mom having that prayer like Hannah, being devoted like Ruth, devoted to Naomi, devoted to follow her and be a part of the family, showing interest in the Word like Mary, being found at the feet of Jesus, feasting on the Word, having decisions made like Rebecca, the right decisions that led her to Isaac, and then it was for a lifetime, to be influenced like the faith like Queen Sheba had, that stepped out on faith and went to see what Solomon was about, and then mothers who opened their heart, to a prayer service like Lydia did, which resulted in her getting saved, which resulted in her household being saved and baptized. I believe because of a lot of mamas today, that's the reason we're here. That's the reason we're saved. That's the reason we've been baptized, because of a mama that didn't give up on us. Because of a mama that wouldn't give up on us. Danny, y'all can come back. Because of a mom's prayer, and because of a devotion of a mom that didn't give up on us, that meant that they were going to love us in spite of ourselves. They were going to be there for us in spite of what we'd done. Mom was going to encourage us, going to pray for us, going to uplift us, going to motivate us, going to be there to exhibit the faith for us. And because of that, as I said, you see 3 and 4 generations of families here today. And I have a strong belief that's because of a mama having a strong faith in God's word, that it passed that on to the children, that those children got it, and they're here today. And because of that, we see Lydia got right with the Lord, and then Lydia's whole household got right with him and baptized. Thank the Lord for you mamas. Thank the Lord for you as godly women here today and godly mamas here today. Thank the Lord, you know, for my mom was just 4'10". That didn't give up on me or my brother. She didn't have much to give up on him, but she had a lot on me. But thank the Lord for a mom that loved us enough, that believed in correcting us, believed in showing us the way, believed in taking us to church, believed in teaching us how to pray, believed in teaching us and showing us about the Word of God. Thank the Lord for you mamas. Thank God for you. You're precious. You're amazing. More than jewels could ever ask for is a godly mother, a virtuous woman who is praised by our family. In Proverbs 31, who can find a woman so great as that? A virtuous woman is worthy to be praised. Praise your mom today. Love your mom. Call your mom. Let her know how much you love her. Let her know how much you appreciate her. You know, because life is short. James tells us, for what is your life? It's but a vapor. Appear for a little while and vanish away. If your mom is still living, let her know how much you love her today. Call her. You know, maybe she hasn't been the greatest example to you. I don't know. But thank the Lord she birthed you and you're here today. Thank the Lord she gave birth to you and you're here today and you got saved and you're doing something with your life. Thank the Lord. Call her up and tell her thank you. Tell her, says, thank you, Mom, for birthing me because I'm here today and I'm serving Jesus. And maybe they're not in church. Maybe you can tell them, I would love to see you in church with me one day. Maybe you weren't raised in church. Maybe Mama didn't do all that stuff. But won't you call her anyhow and say, thanks for giving birth to me. Because you did, I had a day and an opportunity where I made Jesus Lord of my life one day. And Mama, He changed my life. He changed my life for all eternity. And you know what, Mom? I would like for you to experience that. And call her and invite her. And invite her to make Jesus Lord of her life. It might be the phone call she's been waiting on. I don't know. But love your mamas today. Spend some time with them. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Oh, it's because of mamas. Like Lydia, the whole household was saved and baptized. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've not been saved. The greatest gift I promise you can give your mama today is for her to know where you're going to spend eternity. For her to know that you're going to spend eternity in a place called heaven. Maybe you've never gave your heart and life to the Lord today. Won't you do that? Jesus says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call upon Him today? Maybe you're here and you want to pray about something, your spirit's troubled about something, come and spend some time at the altar. If you're looking for a church home, you aren't going to find a better one than right here. This is an amazing church, group of body of believers, and we would love to be a church home. I'd love to be a pastor. Whatever it is that God's laid upon your heart this morning, will you be obedient to listen to Him and to follow Him and abide by Him? Will you stand with me? Will you come as God leads and lays as we sing? You come today.